they're not kids, but they're kids to us. You know, to see Paige grow up and get married, and now to see Morgan grow up, and he's here now, we can get on to him. No, we're glad for you. It's good to see that. And then two babies. Amen. So everything's just coming in twos, I guess. So I don't know what's next. So anyway, good to be in the house of the Lord. Going to be back in the book of Ephesians. And we're going to be in chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 1 through 17. Ephesians 5. God's word says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness," "and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor gesturing, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. But the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doeth make manifested is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your word, Lord, and what it means to us. And Lord, please don't let me do your word disservice, Lord. Your book is perfect. Your book is what we need. And we thank you for preserving it, Lord, and letting it be infallible to us. So we pray, Lord, that as we go through this, you keep me on focus. Don't let me get off track. Don't let me say anything that you don't want me to say. Lord, we love you, and we just want to be obedient to your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this week, we're still continuing on the practice of believers. And this week we're going to be looking at the practice of believers in relationship to evil. And excuse me. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now in Matthew 5:45, it says, "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." So we are to be followers of God, especially in love, because in verse 2 it says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Okay, in John 13:34 it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now, folks, to love is not a new commandment, but to love as sacrificial as Christ did is. Okay, where the standard of love is here is as yourself. Now, none of you hate yourself. God didn't make us that way. He made us basically to love ourselves. We don't want to wish ourselves to have harm on us. Nobody wants that. But the standard is love one another as you love yourself, or as Christ loved you and gave himself for you. Okay? Now, in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, it says the same thing, to love one another. 1 John 3:11, that we should love one another. John 3:23 says, and this commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as he commanded us. Now, I want you to look in 1 John 4. We're talking about loving one another here. 1 John chapter 4. And in verse 21, it says, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So that's a commandment. And then in 1 John 2, 3 through 6, 2, 3 through 6 says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. So in verse 6 it says we are to walk as he walked. Now we're in 1 John. Go over to 1 John 3. And we're going to read 16 through 18. And it says, Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth in the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but how? In deed and in truth. It's how we're to love. Okay? Now, back to our text. In 5:2, it also says, and we walk in love as Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now, if we go all the way back over to Genesis, and you don't have to go there, but if you can't, you want to, you can. Genesis chapter 8. Genesis 8 and verse 21, it says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. So, we're talking about a sweet-smelling savor. This smell to the Lord was a smell of satisfaction. What Noah did here, he gave him he'd done a burnt offering. If you look in verse 20, it says, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So that was a sweet smell to the Lord. Okay, now, if we go, it pleased him. If we go now back to in the New Testament to 2 Corinthians in chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and in verse 15 and 16, it says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in him that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are savors of death unto death. To the other we are savors of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? So here what it's saying is the gospel is a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. Okay? This same gospel, what it said here, brings life to the believer and it brings death to the rejecter. So we're talking spiritual death here. You know, the person that accepts the gospel and what it means to him and what he did, it gives you life. Amen. To the person that rejects it, it gives them death. Okay? Now, let's move on here. Back to our text in 5:3. It says, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now in Romans 6:13, it says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:18, it tells us to flee fornication. And then in Colossians 3:5, I want to read that one. Colossians 3:5. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuity, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Mortify means to put it to death. That's what that means. Okay, and 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Okay, so the will of God is his desire or purpose in our lives. Sanctification or holiness is, let me back up a little bit. I'll read that again in 5:3, it says, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it talked about fornication and sanctification. Okay? Sanctification or holiness is viewed in three aspects. The first aspect is a position of being set apart to God, which every believer has at the moment of salvation. At the moment of your salvation, and it says this in 1 Corinthians 6:11, you are set apart to God. The second thing is a progressive holiness in of life that ought to be true to every believer. That's part of your sanctification or holiness. A progression of your sanctification and holiness in which we ought to have, every true believer ought to have that, progression of that. Amen. I know when you can think back for when you were first saved, the Bible talks about this. You gave, what do you give a baby? You give a baby milk. You don't give them a T-bone steak. You give them milk, you know. And your sanctification in the Lord is a progression. As you go on, you get out of the milk and you get into a T-bone steak or whatever you like is in that aspect. Okay? Now, and the third aspect was our condition in heaven in which we shall be unblameable in holiness. So those are the three aspects of sanctification or holiness. And then back in our text, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now, fornication is any sexual indulgence outside of marriage. Most people know that. Okay, 5:4 in our text. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor gesturing, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. So in Matthew 12:35, it says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good seed. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. So that's 5:4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor gesturing, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5 says, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So in 1 Corinthians, I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor enmities, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor exhorters shall inherit the kingdom of God. If you go to Galatians 5:19-21, it says the same thing. Those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, folks, I think what Paul here is saying is people who habitually practice these sins exhibits a lifestyle that shows their unsaved condition. Now, because we've all done some of this stuff at one time or another. But when you continue to do this stuff, you're showing where your heart is. Now, we can all fall. I'll raise my hand to that. We can all fall. But when you fall, what do you need to do? You need to confess it and get up and go. Continue on. When you do something habitually, you better check up, you know. Habitual stuff shows where this is right here. Okay? Shows where your heart is. All right, now, let's move on. Verse 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. In Matthew 24:4, Jesus says, take heed that no man deceive you. And then in our text it said, vain words, for this ye know that, I'm looking at 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Vain words meaning empty words, worthless words, words that don't line up with the word of God. That's why it's so important to know the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, if you know it just a little bit, you can be deceived easier, you know. And I'm not saying that, I don't want to go there. That's why it's important to know the Word of God, so you don't get deceived by vain words. Okay, now verse 7 and 8. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for we were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Now in Titus 3, let's go there. Titus chapter 3, right before Hebrews, Philemon, Titus chapter 3. We're going to read verses 3 through 5, and it says, 3 through 5, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, servers of diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness of and love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." It wasn't our righteousness that got us saved. It was His mercy. Okay, now back to our text. Verse 9 and 10 says, "For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Now, we know from Galatians 5, 22 and 23 that gives us the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, our text in 9 said, "For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness." In Romans 3, 22 says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." So it's not our righteousness. We get His righteousness through the faith that we put in Him. Okay? Now, and then back in our text, "For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth." Well, John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 14:6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Okay, and then verse 10, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." In Romans 12:2 it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And then our text 11 and 12 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Now, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I think I was there a while ago, but read it again, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verses 9 through 13, and it says, "I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or exhorters, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man be called a brother," that's a Christian, "be a fornicator or a covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an exhorter, with such an one know not eat. For what have I to do? For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do you not judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from you among yourself that wicked person." Now, it said, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So in verse 9 over in Colossians, it said not to associate with them closely. In verse 10, it went on, "But it is impossible not to have some contact with evil people of the world in our daily pursuit." you guys that are still working, you're going to be around those people. It's impossible to stay away from them. And then in verse 11, Paul says, it is improper to have fellowship with a Christian who is under discipline. The word said, if it's a brother doing that, you're supposed to try to discipline them and then stay away from them. You're not even supposed to eat with them. It's what the word says. The church shall leave the judgment of unbelievers to God and concentrate on setting its own house in order. So I've never had to deal with that. Maybe Brother John has, and maybe some of you have. I don't know. But if there's somebody in your that is a brother and in Christ, can he be a brother and in Christ and do some of that stuff? I think he can. But we're not to, they're to be reproved. They're to be disciplined. And if they don't do it, then we're not even supposed to be go and eat with them. That's what I get out of this. Okay. Now, verse 13 in our text. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doeth make manifest is the light. In John 3, 20 and 21, it says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. When I read that, I thought, you know, evil is done at nighttime, most of it. You know, why? Because the nighttime is when they do their stuff. It's the what the Bible says is it's when evil is apparent more than in the day. The day drives away the darkness, right? That's a picture of the way we should be. You know, the light is in us. The darkness is not in us. The light is in us. Verse 20 of John 3, verse 21, I'm sorry, of John chapter 3. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifested that they are wrought in God. So what I get out of that is what I just said. Evil, most of your evil happens at nighttime. When I think our son's even going through some stuff out where he lives. Excuse me. And I told him, I said, all that stuff happens mainly at night because these people that are doing that are up all night because they're tweakers. You know, they're doing drugs. And that's when they do their rambling about. That's when they do their mischief. Light drives all that away. When the light comes up, when the sun comes up, they hide, they go away because they don't want to get seen. So light always drives darkness away. I don't know how I got on that, but I'm sorry. Okay, 5:14 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I want to go to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, and I'm going to read 11 and 12, Romans 13, 11 and 12 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Armor being the light. Okay, we're talking about darkness and light. Now, in verse 11, awake out of sleep. Now, that's not talking about physical sleep. That's talking about our insensitivity to sin. That's what it's talking about. Awake out of your sleep. Don't be sensitive to sin. For now our salvation is nearer when we believed. So basically the future cumulation of our salvation at the return of the Lord is nearer every single day. You're nearer to the Lord right now than you was when you got saved, even if it was yesterday. For me, it was when I was 15 years old. You know, so every day that goes by, we're getting closer to that accumulation of being with him. Okay. And then in Colossians 3:1, let me read that. Colossians 3:1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand." Okay, so Paul here simply saying, become and experience what you already are by God's grace. Become and experience what you already are by God's grace. The Christian is risen with Christ, so let him exhibit that new life. When you get saved, when you go through the baptism, is not part of salvation. It's a picture. Okay, so when you go through the baptismal waters, it's a picture of Christ going down and coming up. For us, that's the picture of our old man and our new man. That's the way it should, the way you should live your life. To exhibit the new life. Okay. And then in 5:16 in our text says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. In Galatians 6:10 it says, and we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. So we're to do good to all men, period, but especially in this room. That's what it says. Okay, and then 5:16 also says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time is just simply making the most of the time that you have. You know, we all waste time. I do. Maybe you don't, but I do. And we are to redeem the time. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time are those that are not Christians, what it's saying there. Okay. Now, Ephesians 5:17 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In Romans 12:2 it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So one of the wills of God is we're to give thanks in everything. Now, I just read a book, and the name of it was When God's Touch Hurts. And it was a very good book. And it was sometimes it is the will of God for God to touch you and the touch to hurt. Look at Paul. Paul prayed three times to have his thorn removed. What did God tell him? My grace is sufficient for thee. That's what God told Paul. So the will, in everything we are to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Okay. So, what we have done here, we have looked at the practice of believers in relationship to evil. And in verse 2, it said, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice of God for a sweet-smelling savor. And then in verse 3, it starts the list of this that we are supposed to stay away from. And verse 4, that list continues. Verse 5, it continues. And then in verse 6, it says, let no man deceive you with vain words. And then in verse 7, we are not to be partakers with them. Verse 8, we are to walk as children of light. Remember, light cast away the darkness. We're to walk as children of light. And in verse 16, redeeming the time because of the days are evil. Folks, there's a lot of evil out there. You know, and the practice of believers is to be able to try to stay away from that evil. You know, and like I said, especially if you're still working, you're in the world. You're going to be amongst that stuff. So, you know, just pray to God that He stays with you, and He will. If you're a Christian, He'll stay with you and be able to fight off all this stuff. So we are to redeem our time, basically. Okay, so that's what I have. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll quit. Lord, I just thank You, Father, for Your word and what it tells us, Lord, and how we are to redeem our time because the days are evil. Lord, help us, each and every one, Lord, to be able to take Your word and apply it to our life, Lord, and just show us the way that You want us to go in all that we do, Lord. And, Lord, we all fail You. I know I do. And our goal, Lord, is to be sanctified. And we won't be completely sanctified until we get to be with You, Lord. And I'm looking forward to that myself. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, You'll be with each and every one of these people and guide them, Lord. And we thank You for Your word and what it means to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.